the entirety of the Dallas and Calgary game, and I think people will understand why here in just a moment as we start to get into it. But I watched every second of it, and I'm so happy that it started at 2:30 in the afternoon, because if that thing had started at 8 o'clock at night, I'd still be at home watching it, and I would have called out sick to finish.
And I wouldn't blame you one bit.
Yeah, so it's rare you get to see a historical moment in a sport, and I was living for every single minute of it. We can discuss the stats, the records, the game itself, and what a lot of people are complaining about today, John Burton. So let's get into it.
Let's get into all of it. Tampa Bay beats Columbus. Game one, 3-2. Game took five overtimes. Game started at 2:30 in the afternoon right here
Central
locally.
Central time, yeah.
Ended, what, about 8:30?
I think so. Yeah, it was six. We had 6 hours.
Because I was watching Impact Wrestling and that game at the same time.
It was, it was right at 6 hours. And I was really enjoying people's compilation tweets of all of the things that they had accomplished since the puck drop of that game until it ended. You know, there were people that did landscaping projects, you know, got their entire houses cleaned, did their
500 piece puzzle together.
When you have five intermissions of playoff intensity hockey to walk off and burn off the energy before the next OT, you find creative and unique things to do. I got all them dishes done. I got that laundry done. My house is for a Wednesday. My house is spotless. You don't see a lot of midweek weekday cleaning in my house, because it's like once we hit Sunday night, you know, it's grind mode for the next five and a half days.
Right.
So in their intermissions, I was like, I got to do something, man. I got all this energy. And listen, I'm just going to say it before you give the numbers. Jonas Korpisalo yesterday, the example I will give to everybody, the pop culture reference I will give to every human that you can relate to this. Rocky IV, we all remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Moscow, about round 12, started to cheer for Rocky Balboa, the hated American, the guy that you'd never want to cheer for? Well, Jonas Korpisalo isn't the most hated person in the NHL or ever rep like that, but the feeling, the I have to cheer for this dude.
Yep.
NHL record destroyed, not crept up to and barely beaten.
Right.
NHL record shattered for saves in a game, in a playoff game. Absolutely destroyed. I hated that he lost that game. Look, I don't have a dog in the series. I just wanted to see the goalie that legitimately stood on his head for five overtimes. I wanted to see him get
amazing
the win. Because he was, and this was not slouch hockey. Look, they got tired. They got worn down. Some of the passing got a little sloppy at times, but this was still end-to-end hockey, even in the fifth overtime, with high-skill Tampa Bay forwards just coming in one after another on the rush. Jonas Korpisalo finished with, 88 saves?
I believe so,
in this game. The previous record was 73?
Let's see. It looks like 85 saves on
85
88
saves on
shots.
88 shots. Both of those are records, by the way. Most shots faced, most saves in a game. And save percentage, I know he gave up three, man, but that save percentage is going to be looking mighty tight to turn into the agent. It was long, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not for everyone.
Right.
A marathon is not for every person that puts on a pair of running shoes.
Right. If you look at me, I'm not built to run a marathon. I can give you about a 5K and I'm good.
And a 5 OT game is not designed for every single person that enjoys casually the sport of hockey or even jumps into the deep end. It is one of those rare circumstances, one of those rare moments in sports. John, take the three longest games out of the conversation, because they took place in the 20s. And the 30s, and it was a very different time. Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about...
We had that Philly-Pittsburgh game in the 90s.
The one. Yeah. We were about a minute and a half, maybe 2 minutes away from eclipsing. And what an interesting concept. Brian Boucher, who was the goaltender in that game you just referenced, was on the call in the rink. Yep. And you could tell he was tracking those minutes up to where he was displaced as being the goaltender that played in the longest modern NHL game. So it almost became the fourth longest or the third longest game in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
And it was within about a minute and a half of becoming the longest game in what we would call modern hockey history, after the original six.
Gotcha.
Some of the teams that went six overtimes folded 100 years ago. You know? And I wonder why. Probably all of their players dropped dead after playing three games consecutively. But to put it in perspective, 20-minute overtime, 15-minute intermission.
Right.
No television timeouts like you see in a traditional hockey period.
Yes.
You have one stoppage to scrape the ice at the midpoint of the period. And if you notice, as we went through the overtimes in the first OT, that ice was scraped in 45 seconds.
Right,
they're back on the ice. By the fourth OT, everybody understood. Let's go a little slower. Let's give everybody like 2 minutes right here, but there's no timeouts. There's no breaks. There's no nothing. A hockey game is 60 minutes. Three more overtimes is another hockey game, and then add another half of a hockey game on top of that. So 2.5 hockey games were played in a span of 6 hours, and it's only a 1-0 lead for Tampa Bay.
I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, listen, it's a long series, 7 games. Every series is best of 7 now. You know, the qualifiers were best of 5. You know, what does Torts say to his team after losing just an absolute grinder game like that?
All right, what does a regular coach say, or what does Torts say?
Well, both. Give me both.
A regular coach says, boys, go get your rest. no skate tomorrow. We'll meet. We'll talk. We'll go over some tape. We'll get some more rest. We'll get some therapy. We'll get some fluids. And we'll get back to the hotel rooms, and we'll get some rest. We'll get ready for game 2. That's what a regular coach saying.
Yeah.
What would Torts say? F it, fellas.
We're done today.
Talk to me tomorrow. We're going to win game 2. Did you hear what Torts did before game 5 to get his team fired up against Toronto?
No.
Amazing. One of those things where every team in the hub got, as you're familiar with from doing a lot of traveling for work and hotels, sometimes you stay longer. You know, the hotels have it all orchestrated. Like, okay, part of the conference leaves on Tuesday, but other members of the conference don't leave till Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But they treat the conference as one large event.
Oh.
So since there were going to be 4 hockey teams leaving the hub, all of the players in all of the rooms in the hub city of Edmonton received checkout notices on the day of game 5.
Okay.
John Tortorella walked into the room with his in his hand, and he said, look at this BS. Can you believe they think we're checking out today? They're so confident you're going to lose that they've already given your hotel rooms away. And now, to note, afterwards, it was, of course, discovered, because plenty of other coaches, players revealed, that everyone received these notices under the door with their morning paper like you normally do at a hotel.
Right.
So it was normal operating procedure, hotel life.
Right.
But the players don't know that.
Of course.
John Tortorella did. I know he did,
because
Torts is like that. So Tortorella walked in before game 5 with his checkout slip in hand, and he said, boys, they think we're done. They think we're checking out of this hotel today.
Yep.
And they went out 1 game 5. Now, you asked about carryover.
Yeah.
My God, game 2 is going to be brutal.
Oh.
Game 2 is going to be incredibly difficult. The NHL moved Carolina and Boston to 11 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, 10 a.m. our time.
10 a.m. our time.
Yep.
Would you be shocked at all if they put out a statement a little later this afternoon and said they're going to move game 2 another day into the future? Because you need to protect the athletes.
Right.
Seth Jones broke the record. Yes, former Nashville Predator broke the record for most time skated by an NHL player in the history of the sport. Again, rare do you get to see a day where one game sets multiple records for the history of a sport that goes 100 years. Seth Jones skated, John Burton, 64 and a half minutes of a hockey game. Now, remember, a standard hockey game, 60 minutes.
Right.
And we know a typical team, 6 defensemen, 3 pairs of defensemen, they switch out as needed during the plays, certain situations. So Roman Josi, who's a killer when it comes to minutes, a guy like Ryan Suter in Minnesota, a guy like McDonough in Tampa, these are 25 to 28 minutes. And that's considered, man, you're really pushing that vehicle hard.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Jones skated the equivalent of the entire hockey game plus 3.5 minutes of the OT session.
Wow.
Consecutively. 64 minutes. And what did he say after the game? Because he's a hockey player. How do you feel, Seth? I'm okay.
I'm okay. Yeah, I feel fine.
Of course he is. By the way, that kid's going to be a no doubt Hall of Famer.
He's incredible.
He's going to be the number one piece of the Columbus Blue Jackets franchise for the next 12 to 15 years, like Zdeno Chara did in Boston. Did. I'm talking about him like he ain't around anymore. 43 years old, Big Z, still playing up there in Boston. Seth Jones is going to be one of the premier household names of the NHL and the defenseman class for the next 15 years in this league. He'll go to the Hall of Fame. He'll probably... It's hard, man, because, you know, the old generation, the numbers were so inflated. Yeah. You know, the defenseman like Brian Leetch could come in the league and get 100 points his rookie season like it was nothing. We don't see that at a defenseman anymore. But by the end, I would not be shocked if Seth Jones has numbers like Brian Leetch did in the NHL. And, of course, Brian Leetch, first ballot Hall of Famer. And
we
others
well.
Like that, you know, Phil Housley, over 1,000 points as a defenseman. You know, it's not a shock. Seth Jones, educated by Phil Housley his rookie year here in Nashville, has now gone on to easy. And there were a couple moments in that, like third and fourth OT, where I saw that gleam. We saw Seth Jones play here. He'll drive the net. He'll take the puck from the point.
He's a terrific 200-foot player.
He will shock people. He'll get one out there at the point, fake a shot. Everyone freezes to block a shot, and he will just skate right in, drive the net, fake close near side, wrap around, go far side. We saw him do it in OT here for a Nashville Predators game winning goal. We saw him do it a couple of times in regulation. Yeah. He's an incredible player, and I hope he does well. But he now holds an NHL record. And John, there's never going to be a goalie that makes 87 saves in a game again.
That's a lot.
There's never going to be a player that skates 64-plus minutes in a game again. Oh, again, over 100 years of history. Mm-hmm. Significant records fall, fourth longest game in history, and all that leads to a 1-0 lead
and
in a
that,
best of seven series.
All you get out of that is one win in a seven-game series.
The bleed over is going to be brutal, though. I expect if they don't move game two that there's going to be a lot of difficulties. Maybe not right off the jump. First period might look like normal hockey, but it's going to start to feel like quicksand on those guys. The burn. Yeah. You can educate the people more on that, man. But once those acids start building up in legs.
Yeah, and that lactic acid.
There's nothing you can do about it.
And we all know hockey players get their power from their lower half and their core.
Legs feed the wolves, man. That's the way it is. It was great, though.
It was fun to watch.
I watched every second of it. And again, it's not everybody's cup of tea. That's not everybody's style of hockey game. And there's a lot of people that be like, why don't I just go to a shootout after 20 minutes? Well, because it's a hockey game, not a skills competition.
Exactly.
And yes, all of the skills are used in playing a hockey game, but we settle hockey games by playing hockey.
We
can't keep fans at the rink until 5 a.m. during the regular season playing 20-minute overtimes. It makes sense for a regular season situation.
Sure.
But in the overtime, you want to draw in the casual fan. You want to get all over everyone's television screen. There's not a national screen in the world today that's not talking about Columbus and Tampa Bay playing 5 overtimes and a goalie making 87 saves in that game.
No question about it. Flames beat the Stars 3-2. Golden Knights beat the Blackhawks 4-1. Today we got the Hurricanes and Bruins 10 a.m. So we got morning hockey. Coyotes and Avs at 4:30. Islanders Capitals, really looking forward to that series. That's at 2. The Canadiens play the Flyers at 8. And then it's the Canucks and Blues 9:30.
It's a busy
tonight.
Day.
Huge
I hated
day.
I hated that they had to move the Boston Carolina game because I was so excited to watch that one in prime time. But it makes total sense. They were at the rink for probably 2 hours sitting around, probably half of them wearing their skates, dressed. Mm-hmm. There comes a point where you got to say, this doesn't make any sense anymore. Send the boys back to the hotel. Let's regroup at 9 a.m. and play a game at 10 a.m. So that's what they're going to do today. And it sets up another full day. And because of Hub Life, John, you got two cities running 4 series. So you're running them nonstop, back to back to back. There's nothing's going to create more buzz, more interest than the product being on your screen at the best possible times. Everybody knows at 2:30 in the afternoon, there ain't a damn thing to watch on television. Anyone who's ever been home at that time of day knows if you ain't got something saved in the DVR and you ain't planning to take a nap, you are SOL at that time of day. So to be like, oh, wow, this NHL playoff game's dropping the puck at 2:30. I think I'll flip that on. Next thing you know, it's 6 hours later. And your eyes are bloodshot. All them cans be empty. And you're like, whoa, man.
Yeah, a lot of dead soldiers sitting on your coffee table.
I think I just experienced something here.
It was an incredible day, and we'll see what today brings us. And, it's funny you mentioned Seth Jones. You know, at some point, maybe today, we'll have to revisit that trade and see, you know, who got the better of it. But...
I tell you the quick answer right now.
Yeah.
The Preds on the front end, the Blue Jackets on the back end.
Fair enough.
Because the Preds went to a Stanley Cup final right after that trade. Ryan Johansson was a massive, massive piece of that in the playoff run. Seth Jones was not there development-wise yet. We knew he would be a franchise. He was a number four overall pick. Popeye's son wasn't going to come into this league and look like a fool out there. So when he got traded to Columbus, we knew he was about 2 years from development. He's now fully developed. He's a Hall of Fame defenseman. Ryan Johansson at this point in his career is not a Hall of Fame center.
Right.
When we judge this thing 10 years from now, if the Preds had won that cup, we'd probably call it equal. But when we look at it 10 years from now and the numbers fully flesh out, we're probably going to say the Columbus Blue Jackets stole a franchise Hall of Fame player from the Preds.
And listen, I'm not ripping on Ryan Johansson. He's a nice guy. I think he's a terrific player. And he bought me a drink on my birthday. So
that's hell of nice. Hey, only the third player in franchise history to have 50 assists. So, for all of those who criticize the numbers and say he hasn't earned what he's earned, he's one of only three players in the franchise's history to eclipse that mark. And yes, does he still have another level and room to grow? I think so.
I
hope so. I'd like to see so. And what we saw in this playoff series carries over to the following seasons, then that contract will seem very much like a value play by the end of it.